Congratulations, you've made an excellent life choice today. You're displaying strong character and good taste by tuning into this infotainment web zone. We're poorly informed and highly opinionated. This is Idiots Discuss the Universe.
It's time for another episode of What's the Crux?
What's the Crux?
It's What's the Crux.
Let's talk about current events first, just real quick.
Oh, okay.
So you heard about it's this fascinating story. It was going and then it's over.
I'm ready.
It is the Suez Canal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you were blatantly unaware of it last time I brought it up to you.
The Suez Canal, that's in Arizona, right?
And it was over, yes, in Arizona. Uh-huh. They moved it from Egypt.
Oh, that's a feat of...
It's from Egypt, and it cuts off the ships having to go around the Horn of Africa.
Right.
11,700 miles off of that trip from India to ports of
it's
Europe.
It's like their Panama Canal.
Yes, yes. Arguably, probably more important than the Panama Canal just a little bit.
Watch it.
Okay.
Watch it with the Panama Canal.
And Suez Canal has two sections of it. One part of it has two canals, right? One going one way and one going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And then one part of it is just one canal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometime on the morning of March 23rd, right? March 23rd,
mm-hmm.
This super tanker full of cargo boxes starts to wobble back and forth, goes one direction a little bit too much, and then tries to correct, and then can't come back out of it. And they don't really know why. That's still not been released why. But it wedges into the side of the canal, and then the back end for 20 minutes swings width-wise until the super tanker is completely blocking the Suez Canal. Right? So the front goes into one side and then the other side drifts around and blocks it completely. So no ships can get either way around. Like, tugboats can get around one side eventually a little bit. But, like, for the most part, no other big ships can move back and forth, so everything stops. All the other ships that are in the canal and all this other stuff, both going both ways, stop.
And both ends have run aground.
The back end is still floating free. It does not go all the way to the other side. There is still probably 20 meters maybe that you could get through. Like I say, like little ships, like if you're in a jet ski, you could totally get around the back of the
ship at the other
edge of the canal. But if like you were in a bigger ship, like you would not try it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You might be able to, but you're
going
to be so close to the edge that you might run aground or who knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But I do think they got some tugs through there and some different things.
Tugga.
But they started going like crazy on this thing, trying to get it moved, right? And they don't know if it was like wind, a dust storm, all this shit. It lost power, maybe. They did like this chart your vessel thing on it, and before it went into the Suez Canal, they always like kind of wait outside in the Red Sea, and it's just like going in this weird pattern in circles while it's waiting, just sailing around in this weird pattern until it gets called and it gets to go through the canal,
right?
Which makes people think that it's having navigational problems anyway, and maybe that's what happened, that it totally lost power and then the power steering and the thing stopped and you cannot turn those things manually at all, so maybe that's what happened. But anyway, it's on its way now. It has now been moved, but it was costing the world $400 million an hour.
Whoa.
That it was stuck there, and it was stuck there for 5 or 6 days, I think.
Holy shit.
Costing
the world. Now, this is just because there's goods that need to get to places and that every minute is money. People are being paid. It's all being put behind schedule.
Right. At the same time, there's like perishables on these ships that are going bad, as they sit out at sea, there are other ships that are deciding, like, fuck it, we're going around Africa because we can't wait. All sorts of things that you can't even imagine all the different scenarios. But super huge. But, like, the point is not what all the crazy QAnon people think about it, because the call letter of the ship is H. What is it? H3RC.
Oh,
so Hillary Rodham Clinton, right?
Right.
And supposedly, like, the cargo containers are just full of white slaves,
full of children,
just full of children
for the adrenochrome.
Yeah,
they're gonna harvest it, and Hillary's gonna have a big old banquet.
And also, along the side of it, the owner of the ship is Evergreen, which is a Malaysian company. And Evergreen is Hillary Clinton's Secret Service code name.
What? Really?
Yeah. So it's obviously.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
That's
a slam dunk.
Amazing.
That's two pieces of hard evidence.
But
right
that's
there.
Not the point. The point is how one little thing can go sideways and just block up everything else.
Whoa.
And I think that just the other episodes, Benny, you said one little thing that made me think, like, maybe this is it. Because I always felt like with you that, like, there's, like, some sort of, like, secret key. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're one of those secret key people that if you find the thing that turns it, then you make the change and then you're on your way. Boom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got all the pieces in place. It's just like that weird thing. There's like some sort of like
it's an something. Attitude adjustment.
You gotta get bit by the radioactive spider, but you're already like the good guy, you know, that's gonna be Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? In a way. You got all the important pieces are there. You just need the thing.
Right.
But I think you said what it was the other morning when you were being all a little bitchy about having to get up in the morning and be boom, 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 boom. I'm mad, because I'm up in the morning.
Yeah, I hated
it. That's it, dude. What? That's the fucking killer.
What?
The crappy morning.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to beat the morning. Just like the ship that goes sideways, man, that's blocking up everything else for the rest of the day. In every way.
People have, like, good mornings?
Every philosopher that you talk to that's worth a shit, like, that's one of the first things, other than like, the philosophers that are just, like, really the miserable ones. But the ones that you're like, okay, that guy, like, be someone that, like, you know, I'd want to be neighbors with, you know, or, like, I would vote that guy into office, you know?
Yeah.
Those guys are all, like, if you want to be, like, prosperous and healthy in your head, like, you've got to start the day in the right way.
Yeah, so true.
And that is so poison, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what the key is. Maybe it's prep, and you're in a good position to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you can prep for a good morning, you know, in the sense that, like, you start off, like, you got to start off like the military in the morning.
Right.
To start
7:30, you're like getting out of bed, and then you do this, and you 15 minutes of this.
Time doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. But you have to have like that accomplishment scenario the minute that you wake up, where you get into like task complete, like the minute that your feet hit the floor.
Right.
It's huge. You know, like you get up. You're like, if it's cold, you get like dressed first, and then you immediately make the bed, you know, and then you immediately do like all the bathroom stuff that you have to do, like in the same way, like in this military sort of way, in that you're clicking things off of the list. You know, you're not doing it because you really need to like floss every morning or whatever it is, you know, that not as bad as like, you know what I'm saying? Like you're not doing it for the thing itself or because it's important that you have a made bed or an unmade bed. You know, you're doing it because it gets you in that immediate mindset that I've already gotten up and I've accomplished things just right off the bat.
Right.
And accomplishing things is easy. You see what I'm saying? Because you're doing easy tasks that don't really matter, but you're like before you wake up and you're in that, still in that, Zeta state, you know, because you're not totally asleep and you're not totally awake.
Yeah,
you're still theta, kind of in that the theta. There you go, theta. Yeah. But you're kind of still in that quasi. You still remember your dreams at that point,
right?
You know, so it's really working its way into your subconscious.
Yeah,
and if you do the right positive shit in that window, it sets the stage for the rest of the day. I mean, that's why the military does that, you know, to people. It gets them in that mode.
Yeah.
And then you just have that much more drive and ambition and positivity for everything else.
Oh, that's so true.
And another way that you can go about it is you can prep the night before.
Right.
You know, it's like every night before I go to bed, like I don't just throw clothes on the floor or whatever. Like I put all the clothes away, you know, so like you wake up and then like the room is like you're waking up on a movie set.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
You know, even if it's a crappy movie set, you know what I'm saying? Like even if you're playing like kind of a poor bum that lives in like a bum house, you know, like it's set up in a way that would be like shot in a movie. That's what you think, you know what I'm saying? Or like, and you put it away and you get it set up for you. So like you wake up and you're starting that story.
Right.
Then you do all the same things that I'm talking about, but you prep it.
Yeah. I like that. I like thinking of it like that.
Set your clothes out or figure out what you're going to do. You know what I'm saying? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like kind of have like these rituals that get you going towards sleep and get you up in the morning. And like you can do a little reading or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's super like cool and important. And if you do the end of the day, and I have a hard time with the end of the day. That's my challenge. Mm. You know, I used to be better at it where I'd read a little bit, but I could smoke in bed.
What?
Yeah. Like when I would smoke in my apartment, I could smoke in bed.
Oh, right. Wow.
So like I would have a cigarette. Like read, you know, set up like in the 50s, you'd put a bunch of pillows behind you and you'd get in bed and you'd get out your book, you know, and if you had a lady friend, they'd be like, whatever, you know, you're hanging out too, just kind of hang out in bed and she's getting ready for sleep or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're reading your magazine or your book or whatever, and you're smoking a cigarette and drinking the iced tea or whiskey or whatever you're doing.
Hell yeah.
And it was nice. You know, it was kind of like a ritual.
Yeah.
And, but I've lost that. Now I'm just like, oh, sleep in the chair and kind of wake up and like, oh, is my phone charged enough?
Just go until you're like,
is it charged enough to ring in the morning? Oh, God. And then I just go upstairs and I just collapse.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times I don't put the clothes away. You know, it's bad news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Well.
But the morning thing, like it's always clean in the morning. By the time I leave, like the room is looking good, like ready to come back to.
I got to get my room there in the first place.
Yeah. But still, starting in the morning and just making the bed.
Yeah.
That's so key.
Absolutely.
So super key.
That makes a lot of sense.
And moving on from there. That's all it is. Yeah. But starting that, like figuring out why you're crabby in the morning. Are you having like bad subconscious dreams? You know, are you, there's a reason.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the key.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that's whatever causes those grumpy mornings is like a deeper something, you know, and it might just be like, and that might be just making the bed in the morning and starting out like super, like until you hit a wall, you know, just boom, 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 do stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, be like a robot soldier for the first, like, as far as you can make it, you know, and then try to, if you can go longer, add more stuff, like cook a really fucking good breakfast, you know, do this, you know, just add more tasks in that. And then as you get better at it, you'll find that you're just stay in that mode. And when you start doing music and everything else, you're just more, you know, ready to go. And that kind of just got it. You know what I'm saying? Because it sets that tone.
Yeah.
And I think it'll hit like the time management.
Yeah.
It'll hit like productivity and money and like a lot of different things. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you'll be able to practice, dude. If that's what you wanted to do, you could wake up, like make the bed, go through the toiletry things, get dressed in the clothes that you picked out the night before, sit down, practice the guitar for 40 minutes while coffee's being made downstairs that you've started. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have that ritual down, and then you're done with that shit every day.
Yeah.
And if you practice for 30 fucking minutes in that first bit of the day every day,
yeah,
that would add up like so. You know what I'm saying?
Very quickly.
You would never have to worry about, like, I'm not keeping up on my practicing on my guitar.
Right.
Totally. Ever again.
Yeah.
30 minutes a day.
Very true.
And just build that shit in and just feel how, like, good that would feel, like having the whole day ahead of you and you've already, like, I've already practiced for 30 minutes a day and I've cleaned my room and I've made myself breakfast and coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I've done all of that
and, like,
stuff.
Showered.
And I did it all in like an hour and 30 minutes. Or an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, I want to throw, like, exercising in there, too.
I mean, seriously, whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, until you hit the wall.
Right.
But, like, yeah, you can put in the walk or switch it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, just keep going. But, like, when you get in that thing, even if you just make the bed and tidy the room and get dressed in new clothes and look as best as that you can, no different than you do now. But just, like, have it ready to go and know, like, what you're going to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the weather the night before. Like, oh, it's going to rain tomorrow, so better have this fucking figured out.
Oh, that's...
You know what I'm saying? So you're, like, you're going into that mindset when you go to sleep. Like, I'm ready for tomorrow.
Right.
I've looked up the shit that I can look up, and I'm ready for, you know, the battles tomorrow.
Yep.
And I've already got my intel.
Yes, exactly.
Even though it's stupid shit, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's raining, you look out the window, oh, it's raining, I could get my raincoat.
Right.
It makes no material difference, but it makes huge subconscious difference.
Mm.
And you become like the master.
Right. Yeah, you start the day off checking boxes.
Right, and there's no one to be pissed at in the morning. Because you realize, and you're just like Marcus Aurelius says when you wakes up, like, you are a human being doing the things that human beings do. Why are you delaying your purpose?
Right, with staying in bed, you mean?
Right, staying in bed or cursing or, like, avoidant. Being avoidant of the things that you have to do.
Yeah.
Like, going to get food and coffee and starting your day. Like, that's...
No, you're right. The going back to bed is the killer. Like, this morning when I got up for some reason way too early, and then I was like, okay, I'm going back to bed, you know, for like an hour. And then my alarm went off.
Yeah. See, you know?
And then,
like,
I was just like,
And that hour was like so much opportunity in that.
Yeah.
You
was,
know?
Yeah.
And, but it's hard to see at the time because you're like, you're kind of like got a pattern going. So you got to start small and then just add like 15, 10 minute increments.
Yeah.
You know, like toiletries and cleaning, like just making the bed, not even cleaning the room because the room's not clean yet, right?
Yeah, no, it's getting there. I'm chipping away. It's
so
just,
so
it's dirty
so right
again.
Now, like, just make the bed and do the toiletries and get dressed.
Yeah,
you know, and like do it very like do all the steps of everything that you do very thoroughly and do it all.
Right.
You know, so like clean shaven or like clean up the beard every day, all that shit, you know, make it like a list and do it.
Gotcha.
And then add like 2 or 3 minutes of tidying the room at the end of all of that. Mm-hmm. After you're all dressed, like, okay, I'm going to kind of put some shit away for a minute and then go do whatever, go fuck off and do whatever you're going to do. But you'll find that like once you start kind of putting stuff away and you don't really have a whole lot to do next, like, oh, I need coffee pretty soon, but I'm going to put some stuff away first. You know, and then use coffee as the reward. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes. Rather than the thing you need to start.
And then you're celebrating the thing that you did with coffee.
Right. That makes sense.
And see how, but it doesn't really, but it does, like, on a subconscious level.
Yeah,
it makes a huge difference.
It sounds like that sounds like some old Jordan Peterson advice there.
It's a little hippy dippy for Jordan Peterson, I think.
I don't think so. He
likes making your bed, though.
He likes but I think the morning thing and the small reward thing, and like small tasks, like starting with that mentality of like just, you know, just brush your teeth in the morning, and then if you do that, if that's your goal, and then reward yourself with something like some coffee, like if that's
unless you're having like severe like night terrors or like some sort of like trauma that you're dealing with in the nighttime that you wake up and you're just in a bad mood and in a panic mood,
uh-huh.
like then that's something you got to look at separately.
Right.
You know, like I don't have all the information. Just like making the bed's not going to make that better.
Right.
It'll help. It's not going to hurt it.
Right.
But like,
but no, I don't think it's anything like that. I just think I got a particularly bad night of sleep a couple nights in a row.
And was that an excuse growing up too? That like sometimes a little Spenny just is kind of a crabby dude in the morning. Did mom tell you that? Oh, he's just not a morning person.
Yeah.
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 And I was always like,
and you're always like, yeah, I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop it.
But I'm not. But I guess I could be. Why not? But I'm like, morning people. They're terrible.
Why are they terrible?
Because they're just, they think they're better than me.
Why?
Because they're up earlier.
And?
Doing shit.
And
feeling good.
Right. So?
So they must feel better than me.
Yeah.
And I don't
like. That's why they think that. Because they're like, look at you, and they see someone that.
And I resent them for that because I know that's what they think, and that they
be someone that dresses and does the exact same things that you do, uh-huh. and be a morning. And you don't have to get up in the morning early to be a morning person,
right? You just have to be happy to be awake,
right?
Kind of. Right.
Right. Greet the day with a smile, person.
Oh God!
Or greet the day with a sense of preparedness.
Yes. Yeah.
And like, you know, like honor. You know what I'm saying? Like I am, you know, putting on the armor and like getting it ready. I'm stowing away my shit and I am ready for whatever's coming. Because you will be then.
Yeah.
And the universe throws at you what you can handle.
That's kind of true.
And it's already throwing a lot at you and you're kind of like, what the fuck? So if you start to be like, whoa, you know, like kind of like ready for
like really
it, like
more
it's,
on my
hard,
toes.
It's hard to say where things could go.
Well, that's going to be the goal over this next year of the course.
No, just do it for the next 3 days. Make the bed for the next 3 days and do it for the next 3 days. No matter what time you wake up, just like that's it. Because you're at your house right now, right?
Yeah.
You're not sleeping on the max or anything.
No.
Right? So fine. You're at your house. Like, seriously, when you go home tonight, straighten it up a little bit, maybe.
Yep.
But, like, just make the bed and do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And seriously, just start tomorrow.
Yeah.
And have good mornings.
Good
mornings. Try to have good, productive first hour that you're awake.
Yes. And once I'm awake, get out of bed.
That's, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't do that.
No? Okay.
No,
that's not part of it?
No, that's not. I mean, kind of like, I kind of like to process, like, the subconscious thing before
I get
out of bed.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, once I know that I'm going to be awakened enough, I'm like, okay, what part of the dreams were the most vivid that I can hold on to for the rest of the day to kind of like, if I need to think about that sort of thing.
Right.
Anything super vibrant or whatever that I want to like kind of hold on to. And then once that kind of starts to fade,
right.
It's time to get up.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Do you get up naturally at a certain time or do you have to set an alarm on your phone?
I will be up naturally probably by 10 a.m.
So you're kind of a morning person already. I mean, for this day and age, you're not like farmer morning, but like there's a lot of people that wouldn't get up to one in the afternoon if you like just didn't wake them up. They would just keep sleeping.
No, yeah, I do. So I do have a thing that just wakes me up.
So you're probably pretty cheery. That might also be kind of work against you. Like, I know that I was always, like, a morning person in the sense that even if I drank and stayed up super late, I was up by, like, 9:30.
Right. No,
8,
exactly. 8,
9, 9:30, no matter what.
But it's not, like,
feeling
a cheery
like shit,
thing.
Feeling
it's just
like
kind of like,
shit.
Yeah, like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Here we go, kind of a thing.
Maybe you're not getting enough sleep, too.
I think that is usually the biggest culprit,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because if I get enough sleep and then I kind of wake up naturally, I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be happy in the morning.
Happy, yeah.
You know? But it's usually because I'm like, it's like, meh, meh, meh. You're just like, fuck. I've got to go do the thing. And I'm, this, where I was
yeah.
comfortable and nice, and inherently I'm going out into the, you know, it is just a mental thing, because it's not like
you have you ever like have you ever like studied like your dream cycle and know kind of like what how what length it is, like if you have like a 3.5 or 4, it's probably something like that, 3, 3.5, 4.
No, I mean I've looked like, into lucid dreaming stuff like
there's
roughly.
There's apps you can download that you just put in the bed next to you, and it'll just kind of monitor like the shaking of the bed, so it'll know like when you're in REM and when you're not, because you stop moving when you go into REM dream sleep, and then you're kind of tossing and turning the rest of the time. So it'll kind of give you an idea of like what your periods of being super down, and then you just try to like, well, even if I'm going to bed at 4 a.m like I know that if I wake up at 7:30 in the morning, I'm going to feel way more refreshed than if I wake up at 8:30 in the morning,
right?
And you just know that about yourself because you've done those sort of things, and it super works.
Yeah.
Super works.
No, I can totally feel that, because, like, if I hadn't gone back to bed this morning, I think I would have felt great.
Yeah, because they talked about that at, like, management meetings and stuff well before, like, there were phones to measure it or anything. Like, you should go to a – and I'm like, you're fucking crazy. But, like, they talked about, like, that's a great way to manage your time.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, what you can get the most out of. Because he's like, if you can sleep for your dream cycle at night and then take a couple 30-minute naps during that, because that's what this dude was doing, this motivational speaker. He slept for one dream cycle every night. Then he took like 2 or 3 20 or 30-minute naps throughout the day. And then he was awake for the rest of the time, being a fucking maniac and doing all this fucking shit that he was doing. But he was a pretty amazing dude. You know, like, if I could take that energy and apply it to my shit, like, my shit would all be done and I have to find new shit.
Yeah.
Because he'd have it all done in, like, 2 weeks, and it'd be done better than I could do it, probably. Or at least he'd be way more excited about it than I would.
Right.
He'd ever be excited about it.
Better time.
Oh, yeah. It would just be overall just a greater success, and more people would be just out of their head excited about it if he did it.
Well, I mean, honestly, speaking of great success, that chocolate bar is really starting to fucking kick in.
How come I feel like sometimes these advice episodes are just kind of like me taking my whole billfold and just throwing it in a well and making a wish and then waiting for the well to do something, and it just doesn't do anything.
No,
just a couple bubbles come up into that dark water down there, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll fuck off.
No, this is when you'd want to do it, because this is when I'm just an open.
It's gonna hit.
My mind is an open container.
It's so open.
It's an open vessel, and you're pouring your sludge into it.
It's like Georgia Stadium. It's just like this huge oval open thing.
Exactly.
Just like the whole.
And you get to. You give your advice, and it goes in.
Either there's nothing in it, or everything's in it. However you want to look at it.
It goes. You fill it with the people and the teams.
And then a slight breeze comes along and just whooshes all that stuff out, and other stuff comes in there.
Hey, these lights are looking pretty cool. No. It's funny, because the morning thing has come up. Patty actually threw down the same gauntlet to me.
When? How soon?
Like last week. He was like, dude, next couple of days, get up, take a shower, brush your teeth right away, you know, dude, get a little thing going, you know. Mm. Like, what? It was when he caught me wearing that shirt for like the fourth day in a row.
Yeah.
And he was like, come on, man. And because I would be in like a shitty mood, you know.
What shirt was it?
You don't need to know that. No, it's LA. It was like that blue LA shirt. Remember that one?
Yeah. Did you have to burn that one?
No, I'm just gonna wash it. That's fine.
Good.
But
it's a sign from Jesus.
Lord.
If you start hearing it from separate folks, you know.
The morning. Because I have been like, why do I feel like dog shit? Like, I feel like I've been you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. No, I haven't been taking better care of myself. Different care of. I've been taking different care of myself than before. I wouldn't say it's worse, but I would say it's a net neutral. I need to take better care of myself, and I think the morning thing is very tangible, doable.
Care for yourself like you're a child that you're legally responsible for, but don't like very much.
That's, yeah.
That's about the level of responsibility you should apply for to care for yourself.
Yeah. You don't like. Yeah, exactly.
But you're legally responsible
for
it.
Yeah, I have
do
to.
Well. And people are watching.
Yeah, people are watching. So, all right, I'll fucking clean your asshole,
If someone asks, you say, oh, yeah, I love that kid.
Yeah, look at
that. I love that kid.
Does so much cool stuff, yeah.
But you really kind really, of, in, you're kind of
asshole.
Neutral.
I know
you're
that.
Kind of neutral,
I know
on it.
I know what he's like.
Yeah.
Everyone.
It's one of those. It's one of those.
Yeah.
If that's how you should care for yourself.
Well, I think I can do that. Like, that doesn't sound like too lofty of a goal.
No.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of times, like, if you didn't really like your kid and he wasn't making his bed in the morning and leaving his house, in his room is a fucking pigsty,
mm-hmm.
or not, like, bathing or changing clothes, you'd fucking get on that little shit and tell him that he had to do that because the neighbor's going to start talking because you haven't changed clothes in 4 days.
Right. That's what my parents were worried about.
See?
Yeah.
And so you have to be that voice to yourself, like,
I'm
hey, loser,
yeah.
it's time to change clothes, little Spenny.
Yeah.
Come on. Or you're going to get your ass whooped because the neighbors are going to talk.
My dad I'm so grateful. He was good. Like, he was still, like, I've, like, gotten water poured on me and, like, you know, waking up and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of the things he would, like. Uh-huh. Clumming, clapping, all right, you know, just like, fuck. I think that, yeah, actually, that might be why I also hate the morning, too.
Yeah, my dad did all, too, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I hated it, too.
I hated
like,
it.
Oh, I hate
that drill sergeant
bullshit. Put your
bullshit.
Feet on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, or rip the blankets off. You ever do that? That shit sucks, dude.
Yeah, that sucks, dude. It was fucking some wicked mornings.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't get up at fucking...
Anyway. See, I just got up. When my dad would yell at me like that, I'd fucking like, fucking, I'm getting up.
No, I would too. I would be awake. I'm like, fuck it. You know, but it would be because I wasn't... Out of bed before that, you know.
Oh.
Right, okay. Like on my own.
Oh, see, my dad had a thing, like every time I would go out the night before in like high school, if I went out the night before, then he would get me up at like 6:30 or 7 on Saturday morning. To help him go bang on metal in the garage or, like, work on cars or, like, go tow a car in the snow or something. Yeah. You know, something fucking awful.
Something shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, your dad sounds like a nightmare as far as that early morning stuff. My dad never went to the trouble to, like, he just yell at me. He never banged or he never got creative.
My dad got creative.
That would have been
like,
too
laughed.
Fun.
Yeah.
That would have been too fun to throw water at me.
No, he had fun.
It was
fun
better
with
to just scream and berate.
No, my dad had fun with it.
See? Yeah.
He would laugh and no. that would.
I probably would have, like, went for that. And but I realized that would have, like, also psychologically hit me in a totally different way.
Yeah.
Than just, like, the brute, like, fucking.
Right. Get up.
Full metal jacket.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Right.
You know, that's what mine was.
Right.
My literal drill sergeant style.
Yeah.
Get the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, you got 3 minutes.
Every morning?
Or whatever it would be. It'd be different shit.
But is it only if you're oversleeping by some sort of amount? Or would it be just like
sometimes
that's
just arbitrary.
Yeah.
Arbitrary.
Yeah, man. Weird.
But sometimes he was nice, too. Just not to be like, hey, Craig, it's time to get up.
No, same. Like, there'd be, if it was like weekend, morning, you know, there'd
there
be...
was no big thing. And like, mom was just like, had, if my
breakfast.
Mom had breakfast ready, he'd just be, come on, Craig, whenever.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, he's not going to show up on time for breakfast.
Yeah, she made some stuff.
I'm reading the paper.
Yeah.
What part of reading the paper don't you understand, woman?
He say shit like that.
Oh my god, dude, it was fucking. She would bring him fucking like meals like that you would pay like 60-70 bucks for, like courses of like dessert and a drink and coffee and like a main course and a salad on a tray while he was watching TV with the TV so loud that like you couldn't even
dad is the man.
And he would fucking find something, he would eat it and then he'd be like, yeah, those beans kind of taste as shitty.
He'd find the one thing wrong
or
with
what,
it.
What is this? Or he was just like, what is this chicken shit?
What? Oh my god!
Just anything that wasn't like red meat or like a pork chop.
Yeah,
you know, like fried chicken was just like fucking girl food.
Yeah,
like what the fuck is this? And eventually, he had diabetes, so he had to like have like fish and chicken, and she was like, you know, like a cook and like a home economics that understood like what the diet, like a diabetic diet, was supposed to be.
Yeah,
and he was just fucking not having it.
Huh.
So like he would like come home and you know, there'd be like fucking great food. I mean, fucking just like we ate like people eat many years later when they were trying to be healthy. You know, because we were like kind of like my mom was just obsessed with like cooking right for my dad for a few years there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we discovered that he was like going and like eating like two or three hamburgers before he would come home to eat like boiled chicken and
we don't know why and like rice
and you know everything that we were all eating because we were all eating like diabetics too,
right?
And but he would like you know kind of oh yeah you know I'm just gonna hit McDonald's and have a couple pre-game burgers,
yeah,
you know.
Damn, I mean I get it, especially I think if eating is your one thing, if you're like.
Because he didn't drink. I mean, he bought cars, and he liked to eat.
Yeah. And it's like, I just want to eat
work.
In peace.
He liked to work.
Work till I'm hungry. Then I just want to eat in peace. I want a goddamn hamburger.
That was it. That was essentially it. Like, I'm working as hard as I can work, as much as I can work.
Yeah.
And when I eat, I want to eat exactly what I want, as much of it as I fucking want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in the Depression or whatever, and, like, I started working in a bakery truck when I was like five or whatever it was. I want to eat what I want to eat as much of it as I want.
Yeah.
And if it tastes like shit or it's fish, you're going to hear about it.
Yeah. If it's that fucking chicken shit again. Yeah, dude. Damn.
And
that's cool though.
And then sometimes he'd just be fucking prick no matter how great it was.
But your mom clearly
Throw food at my mom. Like, fuck.
Really?
Oh, shit.
That's
abuse.
That's mean.
Oh,
That's just mean.
He would take, like, I've seen bread, fucking all sorts of shit just across
would
the
she,
dinner.
Would she, like, mouth off?
Oh,
of?
Shit, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hell
yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember one time that she was mouthing off at him. Like, he was out front, like, watering something or whatever, and she was on the front porch, like, mouthing off at him, and he just turned around and fucking just fucking shot her with the hose.
That's awesome.
That's some classic shit.
Yeah.
No, but he never, like, it was always, it never got really worse than, like, throwing, like, they never threw plates or broke anything. You know, I don't ever remember them ever breaking anything, being mad like that.
Yeah.
But like, they threw some bread.
Would they yell? Could you ever hear them yelling?
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah.
I hear them yell. Like, fuck. Like, how could they were just like, right. All the time.
Just in front
all
of
the time.
Yeah.
My grandparents yelled at each other. My grandfather would call my grandmother these fucking awful names. Son, everybody called everybody horrible, horrible names.
Yeah.
My great grandparents screamed and yelled and called each other son of a bitch. And just horrible. It was a family thing.
Yeah.
Everybody yelled at everybody all the time.
Interesting.
And really, my parents yelled way less than my extended family yelled. And now I yell even less than them.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so like.
I wouldn't say you're a yeller.
No, I'm not a yeller. I mean, I can be a yeller.
Sure,
and it's a terrifying thing when I'm a yeller.
I don't know if I really... I don't think you could be a yeller because you, with, like, the height plus the yelling...
Oh, I've done some yelling, too.
No,
like, I
know,
the first time
my
first time my ex-wife saw me yell was after we'd been married. We'd already been dating for a long time and been married for a year or two. And it was one trip to, like, Toys R Us, I think. Or CompuCity or something.
Yeah.
One of those fucking Jansen Beach fucking hellhole fucking things. We'd been through like 10 or 5 fucking Pottery Barns and shit. And it was just going bad. And I remember what I was so pissed about, but like I fucking just started fucking yelling at her and she was like fucking, whoa.
Oh,
just
shit.
Like, yeah. She shut the fuck up and we just went home and She's like, huh? Oh, next day, she's like, I've never seen you like that mad.
Yeah, she's like, it was kind of hot.
No, no. No, you reminded me of your father.
Oh, that's a good one. Boom.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Well, exactly.
Bitch. Yeah. Well.
No, it's awful. And it's super emotionally exhausting.
Yeah.
But there is something when you grow up in an environment that's always going on.
Right.
You know, and for the first few years of my life, that was pretty common shit that people were really loud and yelled at each other.
Yeah.
I don't know, you kind of grow immune to it, or you grow like accustomed to it, and that becomes the comfortable
thing. To communicate.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And then when you transition, it's hard to go back and forth is what's tough.
Yeah.
Because you're from a very like European, like my dad's side of the family really more, you know, and my dad learned to yell, I think, from my mother and like that side of the family. Because the other side is very soft-spoken, but they hold grudges forever.
Right.
And they're all kind of, you know, little talky around each other. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, all that sort of, everything's noticed, but nothing's mentioned.
Right.
Sort of like an environment of the great WASP conspiracy thing that's going on. And I think that your family's probably a lot like that side of my family. Just, you know, very well, not well to do, but respected as much as they can be respected by the folks around them and everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they got some dark spots and secrets and they shit talk each other and, you know, all the stuff that families do.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
But they're not screamers.
No.
You know, if it gets to screaming, then that means that it's almost volcano time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. No, I've never heard screaming,
Right. And the thing about being in a screaming family is you can't really tell when it gets really, really bad. I guess someone gets murdered or something.
Right.
You know.
Everyone's already screaming about, like...
But in families like my dad's, like, where there was that choo-choo-choo-choo and all the...
That was your dad's
A few generations ago, when that does get to the point where it's so bad that you start screaming... That means that all the other shit is right there, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like if you never hear your parents yell at each other, and then also then one night you hear them yelling at each other, and then that's also the night that they get a little hitty on each other, or a little stabby on each other, or a little poisony on each other. You know what I'm saying? Because all that stuff is so repressed that when it comes out like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then yellers are just like constantly letting it all off.
Yeah.
And they scream and they cry and you know what I'm saying? Totally. Like I kind of like know somebody like that now that like, oh my God, she can like express like shit that like it's just like emotionally devastating to any normal human being. But then she just cries. She just cries and totally just like, and then she's fine. And then she's just like, oh, and here's a picture of a kitty. Woo! You know? But like, and it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
To me.
No, and Alex, I remember experiencing stuff like that with the old with the old
sexy exy.
Yep, with the old sexy exy. But and then hearing the things that would make her cry, and I was just like, like it would be. It's like emotionally devastating. And I was like, I must. It was like the guys, the men that live in my head were like, shut down the receptors. We can't take this level of emotion. She would just be like weeping, and I would just turn into like. You know, shut down mode because.
And then she's like, let's go ice cream.
Yeah, I was like, and then I'm like, all right, put it back on online. And then.
No, it's so incredible. It's so incredible how it can be like just so full force and then.
I'm envious because, you know, Patrick is like that. Not to like put him on blast, but, you know, no one fucking. Knows who that is, whatever. But he's like the yell. I remember going over to his house and getting stoned, and then him and his mom and his brother fighting upstairs, like, you don't fucking know what's best. You don't fucking know what's best. Patrick, you know. And me just being like, this sucks, you know, downstairs, but just kind of like getting high more. And then It's like, that's better than...
Oh, shit. Yeah, we would yell in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
Yeah. And, but I can tell that, you know, he's, because of that, like, impervious to, you know, confrontation, basically. Like, not worried. And I think that is a good thing, you know?
Yeah, it's been a benefit for me. And it's also, like, I'm also able to raise it up a notch to yelling and not lose my cool beyond that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's given me more of a emotional
rage.
Scope. But it's very traumatic. It's very adrenaline-fueled and traumatic to go all the way up that thing.
Yeah.
But you know what isn't adrenaline-fueled and traumatic, Benny? Making your bed first thing in the morning.
That's true.
And we're gonna end it on that, because that's the thing that we got to do tomorrow.
That's right, making my bed.
That's all so quick. That's like less than a minute.
Less than a minute, right when I get out.
Less than a minute.
Yeah.
Fluff the pillows, straighten
Fluff
them up, and throw that shit back down.
That's right.
That's
so right.
Quicky.
Quickity quick.
Yeah.
Like lemony snicket.
Yeah. It's perfecto. It's so nice to get into the next night. You don't have to, like, crawl around and try to find, like, oh, how's it going? I'm all tangled up. And then you just...
That is what
I
do.
And then you're like, why is my neck hurt? What's going on? You know?
Yeah.
And that's no way to live. That's like
it's
being
not.
A hobo.
Yeah.
That's being a fucking...
I'm a hobo who lives inside.
A soul hobo.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But just fluff the pillows and
I
it's
feel
all,
like there's something soul hobo. There's something there.
It's a 90s funk like band that never made it.
Soul hobo.
Soul hobo. Yeah. But yeah, just you all rolling around trying to like, where's the sheet at? What's going on?
Is this a wrapper? Is this a candy wrapper?
Oh, it's gum. Look at this
look,
gum.
Oh, look, there's still some in there.
Look at this gum. Oh, Barry and his... Barry and his...
I miss Barry. His fucking chocolate in the bed.
You know, they were sugar daddies, weren't they?
No, they were like milk duds or something.
Milk duds. Oh, they were milk duds. He went to sleep. He didn't even eat them. He just held them in his hand until they were like turds. And he rubbed them all over his face before he woke up in the morning. And his girlfriend, the mother of his children, was so proud of him.
She was so proud, you could tell. You could tell she was proud.
Oh, we got to get Barry back on.
Too,
I miss
man.
Mr. B. Oh,
me
dude.
I
miss him.
Dearly.
He's one of the original cosmonauts of this fucker.
He is, man. He's one of the original idiots.
Oh, Mr. B.
Mr. B, man. We got to
come back and tell us that fucking story about chocolate. He's having another kid, too. Josh is having another kid.
Me?
I think they're all having more kids.
Cool.
Aren't they?
I don't know. Lordy Lord.
It's hard to keep track.
It is. And you know what's also not hard to keep track of is our Patreon.
No, because you could just search our podcast right on there, and then there's just lots of money options.
Yeah,
that
you can do
give
a lot of
up.
Things. And we are actually not going to do anything really back for you, other than you'll get exclusive content. You might get a sticker if you're fucking lucky. you'd be grateful for that if you got it.
Yeah, we might do stickers.
If you're lucky, like I said, if we, you know, but
Spencer's in charge of the Patreon, so like, you know, all of those clip episodes that you hear, you know, he's just gonna turn some of that effort into the Patreon, and then we're home free.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, and those clips, hey, they're coming together.
Yeah,
fast.
No, you hear them all the time on our episodes.
They're coming.
He's constantly working on that.
It's
so
one of those. It's like Bach. You rush Bach. Oh shit. Do you rush Michelangelo? No.
You know, but they do get their asses kicked out of the palace after a short while for
no,
not
they
doing
don't.
Anything. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They have to go sleep under a tree somewhere.
You're really gonna go tell Picasso to go sleep under a tree?
Yeah.
With his edits. All right. Yeah, you're probably right. All right, I'm going to make my bed tomorrow, though.
All right. Congratulations. We've done something today, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.